Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Catholic Singles. Every day, hundreds of Catholic singles join CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. Breadbox Media listeners get 20% off by using the promo code BREADBOX when they register. Come be our next success story at CatholicSingles.com. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Warning, what you are about to hear is a really loud Catholic dude. After all, he ain't called the Forte Catholic for nothing. So relax your grip on the steering wheel, pull your headphones away ever so slightly, secure any loose articles, and muffle Junior's ears, because it's time to make Catholicism fun again on the Forte Catholic Show with Taylor Schroll on Red Sea Catholic Radio.
The one, the only, Jonathan Salmon Blevins. John, how are you today, sir?
Salmon or Salmon?
Salmon. It's like the fish, but you pronounce it the way that the fish should be pronounced.
No, Salmon, and I'm doing great. How are you doing, brother?
Your middle name is Salmon. Did you just reveal that you're the Brother Teresa guy?
How are we doing, brother? I did not do it, brother.
It's weird. Okay, so for those of you that don't know, there's this thing called Twitter. And on Twitter, people are weird. And there's one account that has come up that is, it's Mother Teresa, but it's Brother Teresa. And it's like Hulk Hogan's face with like Mother Teresa's hair. I don't even know how to explain it.
It's Taylor.
It's not me. I've been accused of this multiple times. You were one of the people that accused me. Father Anthony was one of the people that accused me. I reaccused him. Like it was like this, like he sued and I countersued, you know? I'm still convinced it's one of the Sharapa boys, but was it you or Father Anthony that said like the joke, like you thought it was me because the account wasn't as funny as it could be? Was that you or Father Anthony?
No, that was Father. When I asked Father Anthony if it was him, he was like, no, if it was me, it'd be so funny.
Yeah, he told me the same thing later. I don't know.
Can we just talk about one thing real quick?
I don't know how to feel about this. It's like, should I be offended that people think it's me and then re-offended that people don't think I'm funny? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, you should be double offended. I would be too. And no one has accused me yet except for you just now. But listen, Brother Teresa won't be peak Brother Teresa until he just tweets one word, all caps, brosery.
And if that is tweeted within the next week, we have confirmed
that it's you.
That it's Jonathan Blevins.
No, it's
not. Oh, man. And we'll also need to get confirmation that your middle name is Salmon. So all of this, we are 2 minutes and 20 seconds in, and what I was supposed to do to start today's show was to congratulate you because you are now the father of another small human child, and this one is your first girl. Congratulations, buddy. I'm so happy for you.
Yo, thanks, man. It's been a lot of fun. She's 3 weeks old today. It's funny you say that.
Yeah, which is interesting because, like, you live a busy life. Like, you're like this popular streamer and people want you to talk about stuff, and you've got this new job and you've got these kids and you like travel, but it's quiet because you don't want people to know that people like you. It's really strange. And you yet Like, there have been times where, like, we had to reschedule, or you couldn't come on the time that I wanted you to come on because you're busy with life. And then you have a human child, and I bring it up. I'm like, dude, I understand. Like, if you can't do it this month, like, I'll find a guest co-host. It'll be fine. You're like, nope, perfectly fine. Let's do it the exact day and time that you want to do it. I'm like, what?
Oh, bro. Yeah, absolutely. I'm on paternity leave for 3 months. Chicago Diocese is pro-life, baby, so I'm in heaven.
Okay. We got to talk about this because, sure, the Chicago Diocese can be pro-life, but I don't want to stay home for 3 months. So,
oh, dude, I want to stay home for 3 years.
We are so very different. I have to work to feel good about myself because that's a brokenness in my heart that I have.
Sure.
So how can I be more like you?
Well, bro. Okay. Honestly, though, I have some speaking stuff and I stream more than I was before, and that feels, that doesn't, and not that it feels like work because I love it, but it does feel like I still get to do my own thing a little, right? I'm helping a ton. I love being home and spending more time with my kids and Jody like crazy. It's awesome, but I still get to stream and go to and speak at other places, so it's really kind of perfect, dude.
Oh man. Okay, now I'm jealous.
So I'm not that holy is what I'm saying. Every day I'm like, Jody, it's nap time, can I stream? And she's like, okay, fine. And then at night, it's just like, we should go to bed and get a good night's sleep. It's 9 o'clock. And I'm like, or I could just go stream. Yeah. So yeah, I'm not like this awesome holy guy.
I was jealous because you were better than me. And now I realize that I'm jealous because you have it better than me.
Right. There's a big difference.
We are the same. And you just won the lottery.
That right there should be the tweet that promotes this podcast. That's golden.
But will Brother Teresa / you retweet it?
Only if we pray the rosary, brother.
It's definitely not you. That's stupid. Like, it has to be a person that we know, though. Because, like, this person
does it,
like, likes a lot of my tweets and, like, retweeted the show. Which, also, by the way, is what brought the accusations that it was me. Because, like, only self-promotion is the reason that people thought it was me. I don't even like WWE, and people still accuse me because I self-promote, and I'm very sad.
Here's the thing. When I asked Father Anthony about it, and we and the group pre-CM thing that I'm in, which is just the pre-CM owner life, it's not this big thing you're missing out on. He was like, dude, I think it's just some random person who has not a ton of followers on their other account. He's like, every time a big account on Catholic Twitter blows up, it's somebody who's really small. Who I don't know. And so that's kind of, I'm like, okay, probably.
We will find who this is. I ultimately found out who sent me the cookie cake. It took me 6 months. It took me 6 months. Maybe five. It took me a very long time. And I asked everyone, and everyone played along with this jerk / generous person that bought me something for free and mailed it here and got my wife in on it. But everyone lied to me, and I finally found out who it was. So ask me again in like 5 months, and I will say, yes, John, I knew all along that you were Brother Teresa.
Okay, can we make a podcast pact right now?
Let's do it.
If either of us find out,
I don't know what a podcast pact is.
I'm making it up as we speak. If either of us find out in the next month who this is, we text each other first.
Are you going to text me that it's you, like right as we finish?
It's not me, dude. I hate wrestling. It's fake and stupid.
Amen. Take that, Father Anthony / Brother Teresa.
Yeah, brother.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, back to your news. You have a baby girl. How this segment was supposed to go at all.
She is adorable. She's a lot of fun. She's been an easy baby.
That's good. Is she an easy baby because you haven't had to do much because your wife is doing it all? That's how I had easy children.
Kind of, but not really. It's been different. It's been different. I can get into it if you want.
I do. I do want.
So our first born Caleb was great, pretty easy baby as well, but not every baby, like the first baby is never easy, right? Cause you're always like, wow, it's 3 AM and I'm awake and I don't want to be. But we had a struggle. We have a C-section with him. He stopped breathing when Jody was trying to push. And then, Zachary was born 16 months later and he was in the NICU for a week and she had to have 2 C-sections. So that was another whole thing. And she lost a ton of blood the first time with Caleb and almost got super sick and almost passed. And then, so this is our third, right? And we're like, oh, we're super nervous. She's way more nervous than I am because I try not to think about things and numb it with White Claws. And kidding.
What's funny is like you paused, so it sounded like it was going to be like a really bad answer. It's like, yeah. I shut it out with one bottle of tequila a day. And instead you're like, nope, I just drink the girl drinks that my wife can't drink because she's pregnant.
Okay. Yep, exactly. That's what's in the fridge. And bro, it was so healing. It was insane. We go to the hospital. It was annoying. We had like our surgery or C-section was scheduled at 9 a.m. It didn't happen until like 6 or 7 p.m., which was annoying. But besides that, that's it. Like C-section was happening. Jody was super healthy. Baby was amazing. I helped Kiara. Her name is Kiara Marie Blevins. I'm holding her. Jody gets skin-to-skin time. We're in this waiting area like 20 minutes later, and Jody's already feeding her and she's eating well. And then we're back in a room for 3 nights in the hospital and home. And it was so healing because it was scary with the NICU with Zachary and then Jody and Caleb in the first one. And so this was just great. And she's a girl, which is new.
Yeah. So if annoying is the worst thing that happens during a pregnancy, like you're doing just fine.
I kept telling Jody, I was like, listen, babe, I love you. I know you're stressed. Like, I get it. Surgery, you were prepping yourself. You're scared. But like the person who's making the surgery delayed is in much worse shape than hopefully you will be. And so let's just pray for that family. And we did. And then that family's okay. And everything turned out. And so that helps Jody a little bit, I think.
So what I would imagine happening right now is that the wonderful Jody is like corralling your kids and loving on the new baby. That is what I imagine happening at your house right now. But what I really want is for her to come on right now. And I want to ask her one question and one question only. Was birth any more significant than annoying for you?
Jody will get her. No, I'm pretty sure she's bathing the boys right now.
Yeah, yeah. It's just I was just pointing out that like the male perspective and the woman's perspective is probably a little different.
For sure. But I feel bad for her. She had to fast for like 36 hours because the surgery was late.
Well, thank God she's Catholic. She was prepared for this.
Right? I was going to say, she's a convert, so she's real into it, you know?
Yeah, she's making up for lost time. Okay, so I have to ask the inevitable question. Are you ready for the inevitable question?
Okay, I'm ready.
What's it like to be a girl dad for the first time?
What's it like to be a girl dad for the first time?
I didn't know. I have no idea who you're imitating.
That was you just now.
That's not what I sounded like at all. That sounds. Okay, you know what that sounded like? A person who's drinking White Claw currently.
That's not. I will neither confirm nor deny this. Okay, a lot of my guy friends who have daughters, which you do,
can confirm.
Okay, have asked me this question. It's only been 3 weeks, and so for me, like, not a ton has changed. I love like Caleb. I held him for like an hour before Jody was able to even see him, and I was terrified, and so that was weird. But I loved him like crazy. And then Zachary was in the NICU for a week and I prayed for a miracle and a miracle happened. And that was crazy. And then here's this beautiful, perfect girl and she's just here. And everyone's asking me like, what's it like? What's it like? So here's my two answers I can give and you might be underwhelmed. Number one.
I'm usually underwhelmed when you come on, so it's fine.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I've only noted, like, I've only changed two diapers. Because I've taken care of the kids a ton, like the boys and bathing them every night and all kinds of stuff.
It's the best cop out. I use the same.
Oh, stop it. It's true. I'm playing with them a ton. I see right through me. I'm cleaning the whole house. I do all the meal prep. I cook for Jody. I'm doing tons
pushing
of stuff.
Start.
Don't
on the,
even
pushing start on the Roomba doesn't count as cleaning the house, John.
Okay. I don't have a Roomba. Okay, dude. It's just weird for me to wipe. I'm not really sure how to do it yet. And I'm learning. Okay. I'm learning.
I believe that you can do this.
Thank you very much. And it's wiped down. Anyway, so that's different as I haven't changed as many diapers because I'm not comfortable yet with it. And then number two is like I was driving.
You said number two. Keep going.
I was driving to get some Thai food the second night after we had her in the hospital because I was sick of the hospital food and Jody's a saint. And so I go get Thai food and I'm listening to Eminem's new album because he drops a new album. Like a day after I have my daughter, which is amazing.
I have a new girl. Let's go listen to Eminem because that will be helpful.
Right? And so but I want to listen to his new album. So I'm listening to it. And there's this song he does with Shawn Mendes. And it's pretty, it's called like One of Those Kind of Nights or something. And it's pretty much about just like the hookup culture and hooking up with whoever. And the way Eminem talks about women. Yeah, exactly. So you like it too. It's kind of good. But the way that Eminem talks about women historically has not been great. And I'm driving and listening to this song, a song I probably would have vibed to 5 years ago and just been like, I don't treat women that way. Eminem probably doesn't either. He's just trying to be famous. This song vibes. And all of a sudden I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. What's he saying about women? What is he saying about, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't want my daughter to ever be a person he's talking about in one of his songs. And then I start thinking about all these other songs that people are talking about girls. And I'm like, no, 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 no. Don't, no, no, that's not okay. And that was like the only thing that has been different for me in the last 3 weeks was like thinking about music and the way we treat women now that I have a little girl. But I already loved my wife very similarly, like in a way that I respect her a ton and don't want anyone taking advantage of her either. And so it really hasn't been that different yet.
It changed my life by doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, what's interesting about you saying that is you were like, oh, I'm going to disappoint you. I'm like, no, you know what doesn't disappoint me? Hearing people agree with my exact situation whenever I had kids, because it's like so often, like everybody's like, yes, I have a girl and it's beautiful. My entire life has changed. My entire outlook has changed. And I tell you what, man, I was just watching a comedian who was like, you know, my wife, she's holding this baby. She looks so different. Like she, you know, she just became a mother and she's now this beautiful, like loving person. Me, I'm exactly the same. Like, nothing changed, you know? It's like, and like, that's how I felt a lot. Where like, I'm close with all three of my kids now, but all of them, like, I wasn't close with my son until about like a little after a year. I wasn't close with my second daughter until about a year. And then I wasn't close with the baby now until about 9 months. Like, it took me time and like, everything was revolutionary for my wife and she's getting all the time. It's like, and I'm just over here like, hey, two older kids, you want to go play Pokemon? You know, like this, it's not like you want to go do what I want to do and you can join, you know? And like, it wasn't this life changing thing. And I think the honesty is it's refreshing because most people who are Catholic leaders are like, everything about marriage is great. Everything about having a kid is great. It's like, it's hard. It's difficult.
Yeah, marriage and parenthood is pretty tough.
Yeah, like two of the most difficult things I've ever done, to be honest.
Yeah.
Are they beautiful? Yes. Are they difficult? Absolutely.
Are they mad that we're doing a podcast at 6:30 on a weeknight? Yes.
Not mine, because she loves me.
Okay, it's easy for you.
Okay, so not much has changed, but you are still beautiful and you're a girl dad now and I'm happy for you. And we will get an update in T-minus 11 months or so. And I bet by then you'll be like, man, I love this girl and it's changed everything. Here are the 8 things instead of 2 things we're like, I didn't change. And these are the 2 things that didn't change.
Yeah, I'm sure. I spoil my boys like crazy. Like I spoil them way more than Jody does. So I think you're right, but it might take a couple more years because I spoil my 4-year-old boy a ton right now.
So here's the difference: when you're 4-year-old, in let's see if I can do math, in 17 years, you can buy him his first whiskey.
Right.
And in about 21 years minus 3 weeks, you and your daughter can go out and share a White Claw together. Like, that's the primary difference.
I'll tell you what, in 21 years, my daughter will be in the convent already, so there will be no White Claws. Okay.
I don't think they allow that. Do they allow that? Can you be 21 in the convent?
Yeah, discerning and stuff, sure.
Okay. Well, like, you can hand her a White Claw through the fences, like through the bars.
Enjoy this mango.
I take a sip. You take a sip. We can't talk, though. Do you think Carmelites like caramel or caramelized onions more?
Caramel.
Why do you say that?
Because I don't think that they get enough sweets, and so they would choose caramel.
Caramelized onions are the reason I think God exists.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like, reason number one, that caramelized onion. Reason number two,
I think that onion rings are better than caramelized onions.
Oh, get out of here. You need
ever been to Red Robin?
Oh, yum. You need
ever had an onion straw from the Outback?
Good day, mate.
Steakhouse?
You ever had an onion ring from Outback? Garbage can?
That's disgusting.
You're disgusting. Well, this is a great way to end a segment, so we're just going to go ahead and do it. So, hey, don't go anywhere, guys, because we're going to come back. My Protestant best friend is here. So this show isn't off the rails at all now, and it won't go off the rails anymore. Don't go anywheres, or John will come find you and punch you in the throat.
Brother. We'll be right back.
John, I'm looking at a picture of you with your beard here. How's your beard doing these days?
It's a little bit trimmed. I'm trying to grow it out, but it's a little scraggly.
Well, you know what could help with that, right?
What's that?
Some Catholic Beard Balm Co. products.
Ooh.
Ooh, that you can smell better, and maybe your wife will want to spend some time with you. It'll grow out nice and luscious, be very soft to the touch, but still very manly all at the same time. ForteCatholic.com/beard will get you 11% off, and it's getting cold. You can get some lip balm, whether you are male or a woman, or your coach Patricia. Either way.
I love it. I'm buying it right now.
Do it. ForteCatholic.com/beard for 11% off. Welcome back to Forte Catholic. This is still your host, Tyler Schrott, and I'm here with Forte Catholic. And you are just enjoying yourselves as much as we are. I'm still here in the water closet with co-hosts Johannes Blyvons, and I've invited my best friend, Jacob Simpson. His actual name is Jacob Simpson, and he's here in the studio with me. And guess what, everyone? He's Protestant.
Hi.
Hello. I like that you just flowed with that intro. John, what did you think of that intro?
I too dabble in protest. Here's what I thought about the intro. You know how like you're giving a talk and you're telling a little story and it's not one of your go-to stories that makes everyone laugh, and you're like, oh, I gotta test this out, and no one laughs, and then you just kind of keep going until a few people start to laugh. That's what I feel like you were doing in the beginning.
Yes, but there's a certain co-host of mine who is a priest, and he very much enjoyed that. He's sitting in his car laughing right now. And by right now, I mean 3 days from now when he listens to this episode.
Beautiful.
Sometimes when I'm speaking, John, I just speak to like one person, and I just do a joke for one person. I did this last weekend when I spoke at an event in Austin, and I said a joke, and it was one of those times where like you say a joke and there's a punchline and there's another punchline and then another punchline. I said the first punchline, everybody laughed. Said the second punchline, most of them laughed. I said the last punchline, one person laughed, and it was the one person I directed that joke to. It was an inside joke, and those are the jokes that make me happy.
I like those jokes too.
Well, you know what I like? Apparently Protestants, at least this one. So Jacob has been Catholic adjacent since the year of our Lord 2005. How long have you been Catholic adjacent, John?
What does that even mean? I'm bad at math.
Okay. You have so many questions. So many questions.
What is adjacent to that? Well, you know,
okay.
What?
I am Catholic. He's my best friend. How many times, Jacob, have you been to a Good Friday service with me?
None. I've never been.
That's a lie. You've been to a Good Friday service with me multiple occasions. I'm glad the Catholic Church has made such an impact on
you. I was going to say, I'm glad it was so memorable when you venerated the cross.
You know that Jesus guy that we share? We have joint custody of Jesus.
I am so confused.
Good Friday. You've come with me before.
It's not Black Friday. Think Easter.
I mean, it was black on that Friday for a long time after Jesus died. It's very confusing messaging. Because it also has to do with Thanksgiving. But you don't remember this?
I don't. You're going to have to inform me.
Here, the whole point of this segment was supposed to be, you're not Catholic, but what do you think about the Catholic Church? Because you grew up adjacent to a person who lived out Catholicism. That person is who?
You.
I'm glad someone's tracking with this story. So we spent a lot of time at my Catholic church, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it. And I thought, hey, you've been to Mass with me. And I specifically couldn't say Mass because then all the trads would yell at me because Good Friday is the only day in the year that we don't have Mass. So I'm just hedging all of my bets, and none of it worked. Good. I'm glad you all have so much to say. John, did you grow up with a Catholic adjacent friend?
Can you please define Catholic adjacent for 9 minutes?
I literally just did, and no one listened to me.
It wasn't good.
No one listened.
Good.
You weren't listening to me. I asked a question, and you both said nothing.
It wasn't good.
What does the word adjacent mean, John?
Like close to, but like, okay, so if I'm going in a straight line and someone else is adjacent to me, they're going in a straight line, but we're not in the same line.
Right.
Right?
Right. So like Catholicism is one line. Protestantism is in another line. One leads to heaven. The other leads to hell.
Friends. I would say
that was a joke. No one laughed. I just have to say that was a joke. Don't yell at me.
Womp womp.
Don't worry, Taylor. Our Protestant friends can still be saved through the grace of Jesus Christ on the cross and his Catholic Church. Okay, so yeah, not any good friends. I have good Protestant friends now, but I don't have like lifelong Protestant friends that I've had forever.
I do. His name is Jacob, and we're going to hear his thoughts on the Catholic Church today. Do you think this is a good idea or a bad idea, John?
Well, if he's going to flame us for what we deserve to be flamed for, that's fine. As long as he doesn't take any cheap shots, we're good.
We'll leave the cheap shots to me. So Jacob, you do first of all, Good Friday. Like you don't remember where like the Catholics go up and kiss the cross because that's like idol worship or something.
Oh, I wasn't invited to that.
Yes, you were.
Was I?
You've been. No,
the cross kissing.
Yes,
I was.
Yes,
I didn't kiss a cross.
There's not like it's not like we have first communion and then first cross kissing. Like this isn't a thing just for Catholics. Like I think Jesus died for you too. That's what the theology says.
That's what my mother tells me.
Has she?
No, yeah. She has not. She has not said anything about it.
That's why you came to the Catholic Church. So what I guess my first thoughts is, okay, you and I went to high school together and there was a Catholic youth group that I was very much a part of. That's where I started loving this Jesus guy. What were your first thoughts about Catholicism by hanging out with me?
Yeah, so I was friends with you first, I think, before we started talking about some of that.
That would stuff. Be weird. That would be like the weird people that are like, hey, we've never met. Want to come to Mass with me?
Well, you did. Never mind. All right. So I hung out with your youth group. I wasn't invited to my own youth group, so I hung out with yours. Your people were more fun. We watched High School Musical together. We played games together. We hung out and just had a good time. So it was all about community, and that's where the community was at, and this is where my best friend was at.
Okay, so your best friend went through a few changes in high school, not the ones that you're thinking, that was junior high. But in high school, I started getting closer to Jesus. But you saw the real Taylor, the good and the bad. What was like converting to Jesus Taylor like? I'm actually really curious.
Converting to Jesus Taylor. And what time frame is this?
High school.
High school. So Taylor transformed. He went from one thing to another, and he was no longer the same person.
Can you clarify if you
mean like... Sounds like he really likes you and thinks you did a good job, buddy. Taylor was wasted! And then he was an ass! And then he was wasted again! I'm sorry, I didn't know Taylor, guys.
Yeah, I was like, am I becoming a butterfly or am I degrading? Like, I don't know which one I'm doing.
I think you did transform. I mean, we all grew up. We had stuff where we were learning and growing together. And I think you became more in love with the church, more in love with the community, and... You're a leader, man.
So why didn't you become Catholic?
Because of my mother, actually.
Do go on.
I mean, there's many reasons, but first of all, Taylor, about 3 weeks into our friendship, started getting me to go to RCIA classes. Is that what we were doing?
No, I never went to that. You definitely went to Good Friday services. You don't remember.
I went to RCIA.
Not with me. You went with someone else.
All right. So I was just checking things out. I don't think during that time I had the full understanding of what the church was or what it stood for. I just, you know, we are brothers and we believe same stuff. So when do you think it was that we really became formed or you grew in your formation?
It's been a long journey for me where like I don't think I really had a big moment because like, kind of like my story, John was like, I don't know your story, but John was right on. It was like, hey, I got better as a person and then immediately got worse and then better as a person and then immediately got worse over and over again. That's been most of my life, but especially in high school, like it was just oscillating in much bigger waves whenever I was in high school. And I think for me, high school was just this weird time because it's like, I'm the Jesus kid, but also like the star athlete. And I didn't know how to bring those two things together.
John, did you hear how he said star athlete?
I did. Yeah. I know he exaggerates that. It's fine.
Do I, Jacob? Do I exaggerate that?
He doesn't. He was actually so good at a lot of things, surprisingly.
What state was this in though, real quick?
Texas.
That's impressive then.
Yes. I'm like a real person, Jeff.
You're a beautiful person is what I know.
I know. John's wearing a V-neck. Very. I just want everyone to know that.
It's more of a vest.
V is for vest. Since we're talking about high school, John, Were you ever, like, did you ever flirt with Protestantism like your friend Taylor did?
So I went to this huge church in Chicago at the time. Now there's a bigger one called Willow Creek. But there was a huge church called Hope Church. And I went to that one a couple of times. And that really, like, that understood what youth ministry tries to do now, except without the Jesus part. It was a ton of fun. Dodgeball, like movie nights and stuff. But they almost never prayed and almost never talked about Jesus. And so I went to that kind of stuff and loved it. And it was way better than what was happening at my church. But that's the most. I'd say the most I've ever flirted with Protestantism was when I was getting my degree in theology and realizing how much money I could make if I just didn't switch be Catholic. Teams.
I could have the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist or 30% more salary.
Yeah. Or a private jet.
Oh, yeah, that's a little bit more than 30% more of your salary. Yeah. That's true. You were more ambitious as a young man than I was.
But that's about it. That's about it. And with all the church scandals and stuff like that, that's probably I've thought about it, but I'm all in.
I have told a story before that there is a person in my life who is Protestant who has 100% prayed more rosaries in his life than I have in mine. I've talked before about how, like, because I start. Yeah, it's this guy. John's pointing
what?
Out. He's revealing the story. He's revealing the end of the story before the end. It's weird, John. Whenever I want you to talk, you're silent for like 8 seconds. But then when I'm in the middle of a story trying to not reveal things.
I didn't talk.
I tell a good story. You're distracting me with your V-neck.
This is very distracting.
You're such a good looking fellow. What was I saying?
You're talking about rosaries.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. So, like, longtime listeners will know. I've talked about this a few times where, like, because I had, like, I really fell in love with Jesus in a Protestant church whenever I was in junior high, and then in ninth grade, went to a conference, saw the Eucharist. Okay, that's the Jesus that I met over at the Protestant church. And then the rest is me now. Okay. That's why I'm not Forte Baptist or whatever. Forte Southern Baptist just doesn't roll off the tongue as well. But, like, Mary and, like, devotion to Mary has always been kind of a struggle for me. Like, I have asked similar questions to a lot of Protestants, like, why go through Mary when I could just go straight to Jesus, right? And I've heard all the arguments. Don't argue with that. I get it. I'm fast forwarding the story. But I made a deal with Mary a long time ago. Look, I know that to be a good Catholic boy, I should have a relationship with you. So I'm going to pray the Angelus every day. So I pray the Angelus every day. So leave me alone. That's probably better than some of you. That's the whole point of spiritual life, is just to be better than those around you. Jacob, though, you've prayed a lot of rosaries, and you, like, for a long time, carried a lot of rosaries. And I'm just wondering how my mom got you to pray rosaries when she couldn't get me to.
You know, I listened to that woman, and I don't want to disappoint her. So I just did it. No, honestly, it was, I think in high school, it was more about community. So we had community amongst ourselves. I got to be a part of your community at the church, but also part of your family. That was one of the things that Taylor's mom showed me. She showed me the rosary. She showed me how to pray, what that means. And that was a part of my devotion, part of my spiritual life for a period of time. But high school was just, it was mostly that community. And that's where I saw that through you, through your family. When you're talking about formation, though, I think that mostly happened in our college years as we started becoming more educated, started asking each other questions, poking at each other and trying to poke holes in each other's theology. And
how many of those arguments, what percentage of those arguments did you win?
John, does anybody ever really win an argument with Taylor Scholl?
Listen, I've only known you for a few minutes, buddy, but I'm going to tell you this right now. You seem very smart and you seem incredible. Taylor is also kind of smart and incredible, but I feel like you would be more generous in a conversation and kind of just let him have it, because you just seem a little more, maybe just a little more timid than Taylor might be. But well, I'll go toe-to-toe with Taylor right now.
Well, John, I think you just described our friendship.
Know, yeah.
Two sentences. Good job, John.
Thank you.
Taylor thinks he's great, and Jacob agrees.
Jacob allows Taylor to...
Can we all talk in third person for the rest of this? Taylor thinks it's a good idea.
John has a question for Jake.
Yes.
Shoot.
Because this is fascinating for me. It's fun. I'm not going to steal your thunder. You guys are besties. You can keep doing your thing, but... okay, you're Protestant and you prayed a rosary and you love the community that you felt when you were in the Catholic Church in high school with Taylor and his family, including his mom. How do you I'm assuming that if you're Protestant, you believe in sola scriptura. Yeah. Well, like, how do you, if you're
he's
saying
he's nodding his head. Yes. He's not.
He's nodding his head. Yes.
The radio.
If you're, reason for never becoming Catholic was because of your mom. How do you justify Luke 14:26, where he says, unless you, if you want to come to me, like, unless, don't do it unless you hate your mother and father.
Well,
I mean, that's pretty much about division.
And honestly, that comment was more about during that process of meeting Taylor, being introduced to the church at that initial point. It was a, not necessarily a disagreement, but just say kind of guidance from my family, you know, on how to pursue that, how to answer that question. So that's kind of where I detoured off that path, just in answering that question for myself. I don't have the exact answer to that. I mean, it's not specifically for my mom. I would say as we were in college, as we started asking those questions about theology, about, you know, who God is and what God did, I think that was informative for me, because Taylor, as you know, is an aggressive man. He's not going to back down. He's going to ask strong, thoughtful questions, and he's going to ask them very loudly. So where Taylor was at a Catholic university, gaining formation, growing in knowledge and growing in skill and being able to speak about that, I too had to do that. Because honestly, John, like you, he would ask me a question and I want to have an answer. So what did I do? I tried to answer it. I tried to perpetuate the conversation. I went back to people I trusted. I learned from people I trusted. And as I was learning, as I went to trusted places, I was able to gain in knowledge and more confidence in having that conversation and being able to have that discourse, which for us, it went from community to, you know, pressing theology. And even though we were able to disagree, I think we disagreed well. And I just let Taylor win the conversation. So.
Yeah.
So you've been Catholic adjacent for almost your entire adult life. What keeps you Catholic adjacent and not like to heck with your stupid beliefs and religion and lifestyle, Taylor?
Well, I mean, you're my best friend. You're my family. As far as kicking you to the curb, is that what you're asking?
Or just like ignoring the faith side. Like, obviously, like, my faith plays a big part in my life. It's kind of like literally how I make money, which is a weird thing to say.
Yeah. But
why are we still able to talk about it? Oh my gosh, there's a kid there.
Hello, baby.
John's kid. Love you. Okay, now answer my question, Jacob.
Ask the question again.
I don't remember what the question was. It's a really cute kid.
Why are we still friends?
Sorry, I muted my mic. Keep going.
The kid is wearing a V-neck, and it's very confusing. Why are you still Catholic adjacent, and like we still talk about Catholicism? Like, most people would just shut it down and just be like, that's stupid. Why are you still Catholic adjacent?
Because you're my friend, and you're my brother, and I care about you. I care about your family. I care about what you think and what you believe. I think there's been a lot of value. I mean, as I said, personally, in my own formation, but also in being somebody that's going to ask you questions, that's going to make you challenge more some of the, particularly the last 5 years, some of the social things. So we went from community to belief to now, how does that belief play out in the real world? I see a lot of things going on, and I asked Taylor about it. I'm not informing upon those situations, but Taylor, how do you reconcile what you believe and how you believe with things going on in the world? And we're still, I mean, I think we still have valid, informative conversations, don't you?
I do. John, we're out of time, but do you have a question for our favorite Protestant / Protestants everywhere? Do you have any last final thoughts for this beautiful man sitting next to me?
Yeah. What's the percentage of openness that you have to becoming Catholic one day? 0 to 100.
1 to 100? Probably like 5.
Nice, bro. So you're saying there's a chance. GG's.
I think it's way higher than that, and that's where we disagree. And of course, when it comes to disagreements with Jacob, I am always right. So essentially, that's how we're going to end this, the same way we started, continued, and will continue to continue our friendship. This is Tatler Schrott, that's Johan Blavines, and this is my good friend Jacob Simpson. We'll be right back with For Talk of the Lock right after the break. Don't go anywheres. Hey, John.
What's up?
I hear that you sang at a concert recently.
I did. I did sing at a concert.
Okay. Well, I need you to just follow along. Yeah, I haven't prepped you for this, but I need you to just repeat after me. Are you ready? Not repeat after me, but you'll know exactly how to follow along. Are you ready?
You'll know exactly how to follow along. Are you ready? Yes.
I really can't stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
Well, maybe you should put on some socks.
But baby, it's cold out. Wait, what?
No, you're doing great. Well, that died. ForteCatholic.com/socks for 15% off your next pair of socks so you can look cool and not be cold this winter. Welcome back to Forte Catholic. This is Taylor Schroll.
And Beautiful Evans. And
I like how you just cut me off. Like I said,
I wanted to do that for a year.
Why haven't you?
Because we record during the day.
What does that have to do with anything?
Means I'm a little more timid sometimes.
Oh, as he holds up his white claw. That was just for me.
Gosh,
but I
don't drink white claws. White claws are the laws, dude.
You're literally drinking a white claw right now.
LaCroix, dude.
No, it's not.
It's a white claw. It's a white claw.
Yeah. I'm
losing weight, Taylor. How good do I look?
You look phenomenal, especially in that low-cut V-neck.
All right. So, how we doing?
What's funny is I told John that we were going to record this on video, and I'm still having problems with the video, so this one won't be on YouTube. Sorry, whatever. I don't care. But John was dressed very differently for the video and just absolutely dressed down. Speaking of dressed down, let's talk about the Super Bowl. Okay.
So yeah, buddy.
Okay, so we will talk about the halftime show, but that's not where the Super Bowl starts. The Super Bowl starts at the beginning. That's
with
where
with the Puppy Bowl.
Okay, fine. Whatever. Okay.
Okay, so after that,
leading into the Super Bowl, John, I know that you're a Lions fan. Like, you've got all the Lions gear behind you. You are diehard, and you've never made the playoffs. You will never make the playoffs.
That's
but,
not true.
But like, there's this thing called the playoffs that I think you kind of understand as a just.
In 1991, we were the NFC Championship game. Continue.
I like how you.
True, it's not true. It was a conference title game. Keep going.
I like how you say that like you won the argument. Like.
Just keep going.
I'm very sad. So did you have any connection to this game at all or any of these two teams?
No. And I haven't for a couple of years, actually, because I don't hate the Patriots and they've been in forever. And the Rams, who cares? And the Falcons, who cares? So it's been a while. But no, like there was not a villain for me other than maybe a player on the Chiefs. But like Mahomes is incredible and the coaches are insane. I root for Andy Reid. Kyle Shanahan had a bad deal and is doing great. So no, I was just excited for a big game, an exciting game. My prediction was Kansas City 35, Niners 28, and that was close. And yeah, that's it. I was just kind of excited to watch good football.
So I made a lot of predictions as well, and I put money behind them.
And I won. Keep going.
I have won a lot of money over the course of this season. And I was way up, and let's just say I'm a little less up than I was.
You should have called Uncle John, dude. I did well.
Here's the thing. Like, I know people are confused a lot of times about how betting works, but the Super Bowl has these things called prop bets. Are you familiar with the prop bets, John?
I did quite a few of them.
Okay, so one of the ones that I won. Will Demi Lovato's national anthem be longer than 115 seconds?
Which is how long? 204, right? Or 205?
115. How did you get a 4 out of the 115?
Because that's what mine was. I was just assuming. So what is it? What was yours?
Mine was 115, which is a minute.
Give me minutes.
A minute 45.
You won then.
Oh, no.
Take
sorry.
Over.
Sorry. A minute 55. Wait, now you're confusing me.
So it was 204 is what the over under. I took the over and she was like 154, 155, 156.
No, it's like 225. I was way under. Way off. Okay. Why is time not in hundreds? Why is it in 60s?
I don't know. It's very confusing and a bad amount.
It makes me who like literally last segment I got complimented for being smart and now you're like, how many minutes is that? I don't know.
It's a lot of minutes.
So I got that wrong, but I covered that loss because I bet that her final note would be longer than 5.5 seconds. And I beat that out of the water. Like it was like 10 seconds. It's like, brave. It's like, it was.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
You killed that one. Then I thought you were gonna be like, I beat that one with the tails or heads. And I was like, okay, he's still on the national.
Yeah. Exactly.
No prop bets.
Demi, please stop. But yeah, so I lost money because her microphone was black. I thought it would be like gold or silver. So
are you really bet on that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah, man.
Like, I went a little crazy, but I go that crazy.
So here's the deal. I only bet on football. So this is like 95% of my betting is on football. So like right. My season's over. Like I had a really good season. Best season I've ever had. I'm very happy. I'm walking away with many, many more monies than I walked into the season with. Especially since on thanks. You know how I lost a lot of money, John? I've told you this. Do you remember how I lost a lot of money?
Yeah. On the Lions. I don't want to hear about it.
I lost a lot of money on the Lions. And then I decided to not bet on the Lions. And at one point I was up like $800. So
yikes.
So I had some fun. I had some fun and I lost a lot of prop bets, but I won a few and it's fine. It's all fine. I paid off some student loans the same day I made the bet. So I was feeling pretty good about myself. So the reason that I bet was because I was like you. I didn't care about the game at all. Like neither of these.
Yeah, it's fun. It makes it fun to cheer for something.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. It was a lot of fun. I didn't invite people over, so essentially the money that I was going to spend to feed and drink people, that's a weird way to say that, to provide
true, though, I hear ya.
Food and beverage to human beings, I just said, whatever, I'll turn this into more money, and I didn't. But it makes the game more fun because both of these teams, like you said, like they're... You could have rooted for either team. Like, they're great people. The coaches, there's all great stories. I'm very happy for Andy. He got his first Super Bowl win. Yeah. I bet that Patrick Mahomes would be the MVP, so I'm very happy that he won.
Even though he shouldn't have. Keep going.
Okay, so we've got to talk about some of the commercials. Do you remember some of the commercials?
I do.
What was your favorite, like, a few commercials?
Okay, so I loved the commercial, the New York Life commercial, which talked about the different Greek words for love. That was incredible, dude. That was dope.
I tweeted out that I felt like I was at youth group.
True, right? The Google commercial with the old guy and Lois or Lorraine or Loretta. I'm pretty sure it was Loretta. He lost his wife, and then Google helped him, like, you know, get the photos together and stuff. I was weeping. And listen, I don't care that Google owns the world. Like, I know that, okay? I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's morally okay. I just, Super Bowl Sunday though, I don't care about anything. I'm just in for the commercial. I'm in for the ride. And so I watched that commercial and I wept, and it's okay. Okay. I don't care that Google is going to make money on my weeping. It's fine. That was amazing.
How do they monetize your tears? Every Blevins tear is worth $3.
$1 million. Chrissy Teigen's commercial was hilarious with John Legend. If you follow her on Twitter, dude, if you follow her on Twitter, like, you get a couple of references. That was hilarious. The Cheetos commercial was good. And lastly, I cry laughed during the Bill Murray one.
Yeah, the Groundhog Day.
That was good. Those are my favorite commercials.
I would totally watch that Groundhog Day commercial. I would watch that movie. I would watch Groundhog Day 2 sponsored by Hummer. Like, I would totally watch.
Dude, same. And then, bro, for real, the commercial with what's that show that everyone loves but I never watch? It's a cartoon show. It's like Family Guy.
Simpsons?
Nope. It's like that, but it's not.
Rick and Morty. Rick and Morty.
The Rick and Morty Pringles commercial was golden.
That was very funny. So,
and that's it. That's my thoughts on commercials.
I tweeted about all of those, most of those. I didn't cry at the other one because my kids were bothering me, because that's what fatherhood is. So
same.
I looked at the end of that commercial. I'm like, I bet people are crying now, and I'm perfectly fine because I'm distracted. Maybe that's something to sit on for my spiritual life. I liked the Smart Pot commercial with Captain America and Jim from The Office, and like,
that was good.
And then Big Poppy comes out of nowhere. I'm like, yeah. It's a lot of fun. And my favorite one, I've never felt better about myself than seeing Aquaman, and he was a fake body. Like, he took off his muscles and he took off his hair. And I'm like, that's me now! Yay!
That was good. That was good. Wait, are you saying you were bigger earlier but stronger?
I was bigger and stronger whenever Jacob and I met.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's incredible.
So, like, I feel like people don't believe me, and I get not believing me because everyone knows me as I am now. But I was 6'2", 225 pounds, 5% body fat, ran a 4.4, and I could bench press 225 pounds 28 times, and I know that because I was at a scouting combine for the NFL. Like, those are real things that happened.
So I believe you. I just, like, when I look at pictures of you younger, like when you post them, you just look skinny. Like I was way skinnier. I was in better shape for sure. I could even bench more than I can now, but I was skinnier for sure. And in those pictures, you look skinnier. I don't think you look huge now.
I used to be able to bench what I weigh now. That's really impressive.
Dang, that is impressive.
But that was really funny. Okay, so now we've got to get into this Super Bowl halftime show. Okay, because I saw your tweets and I could not.
So did millions of people.
I could not. I could not share my thoughts because of how much vitriol was being thrown around the internet. So. Your original thoughts / your thoughts since. What are your thoughts on the Super Bowl halftime show?
Okay. I did this on my stream the other night, and I think I did a really good job. I'll make it shorter than that. I love that the Super Bowl, that the NFL now is trying to highlight the city that is having it, right? So when, like, if the Super Bowl's in Detroit, which it was when the Steelers and the Cardinals, I think, or whatever, played, like, they did not have Eminem play. I don't know who was the halftime show, but if they did it next year, they would ask Eminem, you know? Right. I like that. So Miami, you bring in Shakira, you bring in J-Lo. It's a very Hispanic culture. I get it. I love it. I think it's incredible. Celebrate the culture of the people who are coming together from all over the world to watch this game. So I love that part. I think Shakira and J-Lo are incredibly talented, and I think they showed their talent both in singing when it wasn't lip-synced, but I think there was some real singing too, and in their dancing, because they're unbelievable, and that is a talent that I can never have. They have more talent in one finger than I have in my entire body. They're incredible. But I will just say this. My one complaint, and it was my complaint last year, when, like, who wants to see Maroon 5 with his shirt off? I just don't care.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt you just for a second. You know who wants to see Maroon 5 with their shirt off?
Who?
The same people who are complaining about what Shakira and J-Lo had.
Not me.
Today. Yes, but, like, I literally saw this thing, and, like, this is how I feel, okay? Moms in 2019. This is a meme for the older people. Moms in 2019. It's like the heart eyes emoji for Maroon 5 with their shirt off. And then moms in 2020. I really wish the halftime show were family friendly. Kids are watching. It's like, make up your mind.
Yeah. See, I would like to say that my opinion is just right, which is that, like, we should just assume, like, they know kids are watching. Pre-game show, there's kids on the field. National anthem, kids on the field. They played the other American song, Kids on the Field. They brought kids up after J-Lo was down a stripper pole. Like, you know kids are watching. Let's make it friendly for kids. If you are marketing the NFL, the Super Bowl, you know kids are going to be there. Then just allow it, the whole thing, to be watched by kids. And I'll criticize the cheerleaders too. We don't need to see that stuff. Like, put clothes on. And if you're not going to, that's fine. It's capitalism. Do your thing, NFL. I'm a smart dad. My kids were not watching the halftime show. They were in the room watching another show for the halftime. I watched it. I wasn't super offended, but I watched it thinking, man, it would be nice if we could actually see their talent instead of just their butts. And so I think the whole thing is stupid. I think the NFL halftime show is dumb.
So here's my thoughts. And I knew we disagreed because I read your tweets. So the NFL is not for kids. The Super Bowl is not for kids. Now, I agree with your points that it's like, it is very strange for the NFL to parade kids out there at the beginning and right after the show. That's the part that I think they did wrong. The NFL is not for kids. Like, this is not a kid show. Like, the people who are consuming the NFL on a weekly basis are not children. It is grown adults, and the Super Bowl is marketed to, like, look at the commercials. There's not kids commercials. Like, this is an adult thing. It's mostly beer commercials and these sorts of things, right? The part that drives me crazy, and I think you might have been one of the few people actually, like, disagreeing well with what happened, most of what I saw on the internet, I was extremely disappointed with most Catholics on the internet, because the number one thing that everything came from was surprise. Like, they were surprised that this happened.
Right.
How are you surprised?
Put your kids in the other room.
J-Lo and Shakira have been doing this for 30 years. I was sitting here. We were watching it. My son does like watching the NFL. He will watch maybe an hour of a 3.5 hour game, right? And he was in there with me, and we kind of just laughed and said, Chris and Maggie, y'all go over there for like 10 more minutes. Like, it wasn't that big of a deal. And then we talked about it the next day. He was like, Daddy, was the NFL halftime inappropriate? I was like, yes, it was. Like, that's why I needed you to leave. And then he came back, right? Another friend of mine was the same thing. It's like, her and her kids laughed about it. They talked about it. They were like, but here's the thing. Like, the Super Bowl is the biggest cultural event in the United States every year. What is going to happen than what is in our culture? Like, it's going to show what our culture is. And, like, the fact that Catholics are, number one, surprised by this is sad. Number two, that when they see our culture, they just bash it. Like, I saw some, like, real racism. That was one level.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And then just some, like, just tone deaf. It's just, like, how is yelling at this thing that most people love because it's literally a celebration of our culture, whether it's good or bad, right? It's a celebration of our culture. So if people are just yelling at it, no one's going to listen to you. So, like, I was just really frustrated by the whole thing.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. And I don't think the NFL owes anyone like a warning. Like, yeah, my kids were gone before. I have a 4 and a 3-year-old. My 4-year-old loves watching. But I do wish that the NFL would understand that because it is the biggest event in the world, there are families watching. And so do something that the whole family can watch. Like, I don't think it needs to be like, you know, Magic Mike. Just put the Eagles up there or Dolly Parton and let's call it a day.
Dolly Parton might die on stage.
That was the equivalent of like the Eagles. I was like, TLC? Yeah. Nope.
Oh, too soon.
Sorry, Destiny's Child. Bring them up.
Yeah, for sure. So like essentially like my biggest takeaway from it is like if you want the NFL to change what they're doing, they're in the business of making money and they do that based off of our culture and they are a huge part of our culture. They are both a propagator of our culture and they help to set it. So like if you want stuff like the Super Bowl halftime show to change, you need to be a part of changing the culture, and yelling at about it on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook isn't going to do it. Go change the culture locally. Go love people. Like live Christianity, people.
Or you have to stop watching.
Right.
Like exactly. That's how you like stick it to the NFL is you stop watching. But when one person does it, it's not going to work. And I'm not going to start that revolution yet, brother, because I love the NFL.
Your brother Teresa. I know you,
brother.
Are.
Come on, brother. Are. Let's put the brothers together.
Well, I was glad I was able to yell today because I was told not to do it on social media. I hope I gave it a little bit of context. I yelled. You yelled. It was fun. I'll be back next week. Sign up. Hey, John, I know that you said that you would buy me a filet mignon, but I don't know the next time that you and I are going to see each other. So I really want to, like, get some more money.
Yeah, how can I help?
ForteCatholic.com/Patreon is where you can go give. Other people can go give. And you can just donate to the show. I'm not going to use it to buy a filet mignon. I'll use it to buy a porterhouse. I'm just kidding. But it just covers all the costs of the show, helps, you know, like I put a lot of time and hours into this. And John just like comes in for like an hour and a half and is like, oh, look how rich I am. I eat filet mignon all the time.
Where's my 10% cut?
Right. I'm just trying to feed my kids. So ForteCatholic.com/Patreon. That will get you access to all sorts of bonus materials like John bragging about all the food that he is eating that I don't get to eat because I'm poor.
What a blessing.
All right, that's the show. Thanks, John.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... A few minutes each day can change your life during Lent. Ave Maria Press offers booklets for daily devotion, reflection, and more from such best-selling authors as Gary Zemak, Greg Kandra, Father Michael White, and Tom Corcoran, and so many more. Looking for Stations of the Cross booklets or books that are perfect for small groups? We have those too. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LENT20 to get 20% off your order today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.